What's up, man? Alright, guys. Today's video is titled, Why Indian Guys Are So Damn Confident Cold Approaching Hot White Woman. So, I'm out here in San Cristobal in the state of Chiapas. We are about 8,000 feet above the sea. So, as you guys can see, I got my leather jacket on. I haven't worn this jacket since Europe last year. So it's good to be in a place like this. You know, in less than half an hour from now, when you go down to sea level, it's like 100 degrees. But up here, it's like 65 degrees, man. It's like 65, maybe 70 by the day. At night, it goes down to like 50 degrees. I love it. I love where I am. It reminds me a lot of Bills in Moldova, the church behind us. I know you guys can't see it well. I'll probably give you a tour of it during the end of the video. But I love where I am right now. They keep this area, the church area, they keep it lighted up 24 hours, I guess. So anytime I want to shoot a video in the dark, I just come up here because I know they're going to have this church lighted up, as you all can see. So, why are Indians, and not just any old Indians, but curry sales, why are curry sales so damn confident in cold approaching not just any woman, but like the most beautiful white woman in the world? So a lot of people been bringing this up in my comment section. They're asking, why is it, how is it possible that these lowly Indians can have such a amazing confidence to go up to white women? And for those of you who are watching this on the Muslim Koper channel, I'm gonna say the story again. You guys who've been watching me on the Alpha Male Lifestyle channel, you probably already heard this story a billion times before. You know, when I was living in Mountain View, California, before Scamarona, like 3 years ago, I was at a gym working out, and there was this curry sale. You guys have to understand, man, Mountain View is the headquarters of Google. I've been to Google before, okay? Google is either Indian beta males or SJW white feminist woman. That's it. That's all Google has. Indian beta males or SJW feminist white woman. That's it. That's all the people who work for Google, by the way. So, here I am working out at LA Fitness. And this Indian dude, you know, I would say early, maybe mid-20s at the most. Typical Indian-looking curry sale. He has that unattractive Indian phenotype face. He's brown. He's not tan like me. He's brown. Okay? He's wearing glasses. The body was decent. Obviously, he goes to the gym. You know, he wasn't jacked. He wasn't F-boy lean or anything like that, but he had nevertheless a respectable body. So he was wearing glasses. I'd probably say he was probably like 5'9 at the most, 5'9 around there. And you know how Indian guys usually get that V thing going, knowing full well they're gonna lose their hair in a couple of years. He had that V thing going, you know. In other words, he was balding, and again, he was probably early 20s, mid 20s. So this Indian dude, like, saunters across the entire gym. So, how LA Fitness works is that they have, like, the machines over here. And then on the other side of the gym, they have, like, the squats. So, this Indian dude, he's, like, walking from one side of the gym to the other side. And there is this super hot, blue-eyed, blonde, white girl. She was actually taller than him, so she was probably at least 5'10". So she's doing what Instagram thoughts do, like the booty workouts. And this Indian dude, he just was the utmost confidence and swagger. He approaches her in front of the whole motherfucking gym. And I'm watching this dude, and I'm like, man, that guy has motherfucking balls, man. So he gets close to her. Now, this white girl, she's fucking hot, okay? Blue eye, blonde, white, you know. Giga Stacy, if you want to call her that, you know. She had her headphones on. Guys, when a girl has her headphones on, especially if she's hot, that's her way of telling you, I get flown out to Dubai. Whatever you have going on in this gym doesn't mean anything to me. So this Indian guy is approaching her again with utmost swagger and confidence. And like 3 feet away from the girl, or 4 or 5 feet away from her, you know, she points to her headphones and shakes her head. Like, then she turns around. Obviously, he gets a message. So he does a 180 and then goes to some other machine. So, you know, a lot of guys out there, including TFM, they wonder, how is it that these Indian people have such confidence when in reality their SMV is worse than that of black women? Now, one of the reasons why I did this video is that a viewer of mine commented a couple of days ago that an Indian dude hit on his mother, and his mother was like, does this Indian guy actually think I'll stoop down to his level to go out with an Indian? Ooh. So today I'm going to explain to you guys out there why Indian people are so damn confident in approaching the most beautiful white woman on the face of the planet. Now, a lot of you guys out there are already thinking, well, that's because Indians partake in PUA. They go to PUA boot camps. They buy PUA courses. You know, they do fucking Skype and shit like that with PUA coaches and shit like that. And while you are right, yes, other people do, other ethnicities do PUA. PUA is not just an exclusively Indian thing. So PUA alone does not explain why Indian guys, especially the curry sellers, are so damn confident in cold approaching. I mean, again, this Indian dude, he just cold approached the hottest white woman in the whole gym. She didn't give him choosing signals like a certain PUA out there says, yo, 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 homie, yo, I'm alpha. So if it's not PUA that makes Indian people so confident in approaching white women who are way out of their league, what's the secret of these curry sellers? This is what I'm going to try to explain to you. So like I said earlier in the video, guys, I'm in San Cristobal. This is a poor town. It's a nice town, but it's poor. The vast majority of people here are indigenous, meaning that they were the natives that we didn't kill. Now, the native people here, let's keep it 100, okay? If the native people don't have like a drop of European blood, they're fugly, okay? The native people, for the most part, they're not good to look at, okay? They're short. They're, you know, their body is like a box, especially the woman. The face isn't all that attractive. They all look kind of like the same. And the natives are not really that good looking at all. They're poor. So San Cristobal, it's reminds me a little bit of Brasov in Romania. It does have its like good spots. So it does have a lot of expats and a lot of tourists who come in from Mexico to have fun here. Again, fucking 55 degrees in the middle of summer in fucking Mexico, man. 25 minutes when you go down the mountain from where I am, 25 minutes from now, it'll be a fucking 100 degrees. So a lot of people, they like coming up here, including myself, obviously. So I go to Starbucks here in San Cristobal. You guys can go on Google, type in Starbucks San Cristobal. Supposedly everywhere I go in the world, I end up going to Starbucks, you know. Usually Starbucks is the cheapest and the best when it comes to the internet. Now, I do have to admit, when I was in Europe, I didn't go to Starbucks. That's because, you know, the Europeans, you know, they can compete with Starbucks. But here, man, in a third world poverty-stricken country, man, Starbucks is the way to go. By the way, guys, your American Starbucks apps actually works here. You can pay with your American Starbucks app. I don't think you can do refills, and I don't know if you can get any rewards off of it or not. But anyways, I get this giant cup of coffee, right, for a little bit over $2. It's 46 pesos. I give them like 50 pesos. Then I give them like 4 pesos as a tip. So for a little bit over, so for like $2.50, guys, which is hella cheaper than, you know, when I left America, I think Starbucks was like $2.83 for a small cup of coffee at Starbucks. Granted, you get all the refills you want, but still, here, one giant cup of Starbucks, that's enough to last me like a whole day. You know, I have it at the house with me. You know, that's how much Starbucks coffee I've had. And again, it's a little bit over $2. Definitely better than America. So again, Starbucks here is just cheaper and better, especially the internet. You know, you got, I did a video recently. Man, the internet speeds at Starbucks, man, literally, they were off the charts. I'm talking about download speeds close to 200 megabits per second, upload speeds, you know, well over 100 megabits per second. You know, my usual 5 to 6 gigabyte videos, I could have uploaded it in like just a couple of minutes from Starbucks. So now I just go to Starbucks to do all my work there, which is what I do in America. I did the same thing in Egypt. In Egypt, I used to go to Starbucks in San Stefano. That's where I go when I'm in Egypt and wait for this motorcycle or the scooter to go by. So there's a lot of similarities between Alexandria, Egypt, and San Cristobal when it comes to the Starbucks. You know, it's first of all, it's like the only Starbucks in that area. That's number one. And number two, let's keep it 100. In third world poverty-stricken countries, only the elite of society go to Starbucks. In America, you know, even the homeless people go to Starbucks. But in third-worlded, poverty-stricken countries, only the elite of society go to Starbucks. So, when I'm at the Starbucks in San Cristobal, and this is something that they have in the Starbucks in San Stefano, Egypt, that they should have here. Security, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. You get a lot of these indigenous people, they walk into Starbucks, you know, they want to sell you stuff, they want to beg, you know, in, shit, somebody's calling me, I have to get him later. So, so what I was going to tell you guys is that in Alexandria, Egypt, they have, damn it. There goes another scooter. So in Alexandria, Egypt, guys, what they have in Alexandria, Egypt is that they have security there. That way, you know, the low class, the indigenous people, they don't come here to beg and try to sell you bullshit. So here in San Cristobal, they don't have that, sadly and unfortunately. So when you are sitting at Starbucks, you are continuously being harassed by indigenous people. You know, some people try to sell you bullshit stuff, that which is their way of saying, hey, give me money. Other people just flat out say, give me money. I want money. Give me money. It's very, very annoying. And I really don't know why they don't have security guards here to keep these lowlifes out. So the question we have to ask ourselves, you know, being normal, healthy, sane people like you and me, how can somebody beg? How can somebody beg with absolutely no shame? It's like every time somebody new comes into Starbucks, they just follow him, money, give me money, I want money. Or they try to sell something stupid like a fucking doll, you know, like a 5-cent doll. They want to sell it to you for like 100 pesos or some dumb shit like that. And the thing is, you know, these people, you know, and they send in the kids. That's really what pisses me off is that, you know, you got kids fucking 4 or 5 years old, already beggars, you know, give me money, I want money. And these kids, you know, they revolve around Starbucks. You know, they go inside Starbucks, they hit up everybody in Starbucks. You know, if you're sitting, they'll hit you up. If you're on the computer, they'll hit you up. If you're on the phone, they'll hit you up. If you're standing in line, they hit you up. You know, they're begging for money from literally everybody at Starbucks. And it's like I'm thinking to myself, you know, how can people be this shameless? I mean, look, man, I was homeless in LA 5 years. I lived in a car in LA for 5 years. I went 2 days without food because I didn't have money, and I never begged. So I'm thinking to myself, how is it that these people can be so fucking shameless when it comes to begging? You see, The other day, I was working on MGTOW TV. There was some code I had problems with, and I finally finished that code successfully, and I was in a good mood. So this five or six-year-old indigenous girl, you know, she comes up to me, and she like slaps me on my muscle, you know, on my biceps. She goes like this, and I'm like, I was in a good mood because I finished a good, you know, I finished a problem on MGTOW TV, right? So I was in a good mood. So she goes like this, and I'm like, damn, this bitch is ballsy. Again, she's 4 or 5 years old, and I'm in a good mood. You know, she offers me a candy bar. And I'm sitting there looking at my cup of coffee, and I'm like, what goes better with a cup of coffee than a candy bar? And I ask the girl, how much? She says, this pesos, 10 pesos, right? 10 pesos is fucking 50 American cents. Deal, I bought it. So that's when I figured, why is it that these guys, these indigenous people, why they go around Starbucks, literally revolving around Starbucks, begging people for money? Because they know eventually you are gonna crack. You know, if you don't crack today, you're gonna crack tomorrow. And if you don't crack, guess what? Somebody else is gonna crack in your place. Oh, look at the dog, guys. Look at the dog. Yeah, get lost, boy. Go somewhere else. So, beggars know that eventually you're gonna crack, or somebody else is gonna crack in your place. This is why they have the confidence of going around Starbucks going, give me money, I want money, or hey, buy this chocolate bar from me, or some dumb shit like that. So that's when it hit me. This is the crux of the reason why curry sales are so damn confident when it comes to cold approaching white women. You see, curry sales, they have no dignity, they have no integrity, they have no honor. Now, I know some of you guys out there are going to say, Amar, that's racist. Listen, guys. In India, they have a caste system in India. You know, the light-skinned Indians, the Moguls, you know, the guys who have the last name Khan, they're on top of India, right? And then at the very, very bottom, you have, like, the dark-skinned Indians from, like, fucking Bangalore and shit like that. So when you have these Indian guys who live in a caste system, okay, so let's say you are the typical curry sale. You're brown, you're balding, or you're already bald, you're short, you have a fugly phenotype, you know. You are at the bottom of the bottom. So a lot like these indigenous people who go into Starbucks and beg, they know they're at the bottom of the bottom. They know that, man. And because of that, they don't care what you think about them, okay? What Amar Mitwali thinks about some guy walking around, give me money, I want money, he doesn't care simply because he has no self-respect. It doesn't exist for him. Not to mention, let's be absolutely honest, what's easier for that guy to do, okay? Is it easier for him to go out, learn computer programming, and build a website? Or is it easier for him simply to walk around Starbucks hoping somebody would give in and be like, hey, here's money, right? That's how these people think. It's the same thing with the curry sales, you know. All these curry sales you see who cold approach white women, they come from the lowest caste system in India. You know, they're called untouchables. You know, so all these curry sellers you see who cold approach white woman, man, they know that eventually one white woman is gonna fall. Maybe she's too damn drunk. Maybe somebody slipped her a little something in her drink. They know they're gonna find that one white woman who's not gonna say no. And in all likelihood, it probably has to do with drugs and alcohol. Let's be absolutely realistic, because no white woman in her sane mind will ever say yes to a curry sale. I'm going to use him. I did a video about him a couple of years ago. I'm going to use his thumbnail again. There was this Indian PUA dude who is known to aggressively cold approach white women. And they actually sent him to prison for 2 years. I'm using him in the thumbnail of this video. They send this motherfucker to prison for 2 motherfucking years. Why? Because he was aggressively cold approaching women, you know. He was like cornering them, trying to get their number, trying to like take them out on a date, running up behind them like, hey, how you doing? You know, it's like, dude, what the fuck, man? And he is a fugly looking Indian. And again, I mean, think about it, man. Can you guys imagine me, Amar Mitwali, begging? Can you guys imagine me walking up to some girl like, hey, baby mama, what are you doing tonight? Like some PUA out there tells you, yo, 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 homie, yo, I'm alpha. See, I'm 6'3", as you guys know. As you guys can tell, you know, I look good. You know, back in my Hollywood days, you know, I did like background work, you know, shit like that. And there would be times where I'd be, you know, senator, CEO of a company, hot guy at a pool party, you know. This is how society views Amar Mitwali. So imagine me walking around begging, you know, running up to women like fucking harassing them like the curry sellers do. I don't do that. Why? Because I have dignity, integrity, and honor, okay? So this is what you guys out there who are always wondering, how the hell are these Indian guys so damn confident when literally they're going up against a woman who's totally out of their ballpark? It's not because they're confident, it's not because they have game, it's because they have no self-respect, they have no dignity, they have no integrity, they have no honor. They're so low at the totem pole that they're just hoping that that white girl is on drugs, that she's, you know, fucking gonna pass out, maybe slip her alert or something, something, you know, whatever the reason is. This is how these curry sales operate, is that they'll just, all they need, you know, just like that, you know, girl at Starbucks the other day who I ended up buying a chocolate candy bar from, all she needs is that one person who's gonna crack. It's the same thing with the curry sales, you know. This is why you got curry sales approaching like hundreds of girls in one day, because all they need is that one girl to crack, or quite frankly, take advantage of, and that's it. That's all they need. You know, again, this Indian dude, he went to prison for 2 years because they knew that he was looking to take advantage of women. See, this is what Indian guys do. They take advantage of white women, okay? You see, you know, if a poor guy or a poor kid came up to me at Starbucks, he's like, give me money, I want money. And I say, how much do you want? They're going to say, give me everything you have, idiot. So this is how low-class, shameless, ugly people operate. And if you guys, again, go to any third-world poverty-stricken country, go to Egypt, okay? Come here to Mexico, come here to San Cristobal. The people who beg are ugly, indigenous, low-class people. You never ever... Have you guys ever seen a beautiful blue-eyed blonde white girl big? No, why not? Because she's getting flown out to fucking Dubai, okay? I was watching a video on MGTOW TV today where the girls were like, in Miami, guys just give us $5,000 for walking around. We don't even have to sleep with them or anything. They just come up to us and then say, hey, here's $5,000. Go get yourself, you know, a Louis Vuitton handbag or some dumb shit like that. So, yeah, this is why you don't see decent-looking people, you know, especially hot people begging, because they can make it off of their looks. You take Jeremy Meeks, for example. The guy's a fucking low-life scumbag gangbanger, yet he's now working in Hollywood, he's a model, you know, he fucking fucked a fucking billionaire woman. Why? It's all based off of looks. This is what I want you guys out there to understand, man. Looks determine your entire life. Your entire life from the day you are born until the day you die is based solely on looks. Nothing else. Now, you could do what Harvey Weinstein did and have a cheat code where you tell a woman, yeah, hey, you wanna be in a movie? Suck my dick. You could do that, but we all know what happened to Harvey Weinstein. But the point here I'm trying to get to you guys out there is that at the end of the day, man, at the end of the day, it's all gonna come down two looks. Very, very few people out there can actually make it off of their talents. You know, this is why I believe God made Indian people so good at like computers and engineering, because he knows that Indian people will never ever make it off of their looks. And as a disclaimer, okay, I know some of you Indian guys come into my comment section and say, "Yo, Omar, we're not all yogi obes." Look, man, I get it. India is a country that has multiple ethnicities. You guys go from like Aryan blue eye, well, you know, not blonde, but you guys go from like light hair, you know, hazel eyes, light skin, all the way down to fucking yogi obes. And by the way, guys, yogi obes actually mugs 90% of the Indian population. So what does that say about the vast majority of Indian people out there, right? They're all, you know, sub 3, you know, they're not even sub average, they're sub 3, you know. So that's what I really wanted to get across to you guys out there who are always wondering how Indians are so confident. It's because literally they have nothing to lose. And I wouldn't be surprised if this Indian guy who went to prison, that he's probably doing it again, but maybe in a different country or some dumb shit like that. So even prison doesn't scare Indian people from like fucking taking advantage of white women. Again, all they need is one white woman to be taken advantage of, one white woman to break down. They don't care if she slaps him. They don't care if she calls the police. They don't care if, you know, she says, ooh, ooh. Ooh, they don't care about any of that stuff, guys, because there is no dignity, there is no integrity, there is no honor, there is no self-respect that these Indian people have for themselves. And that's really, really sad if you think about it, that somebody doesn't have that type of self-respect. But again, you know, coming from a culture that's based on a caste system, and again, it all comes down to looks. I mean, look, imagine me, right? Imagine me wearing this nice leather jacket, got my pants on, looking like a fucking Hollywood star. Imagine me walking into Starbucks and like, "Please, sir, give me money." Can you guys imagine that? It's not a good look for me at all. But can you imagine somebody like Yogi Obes, who's like 5'4", curry cell, doing it? You're going to be like, "Yeah, I can imagine that, of course." See, this is what I want every guy out there to understand watching this video. It all comes down to looks. Everything revolves around looks. I don't care what any other PUA out there tells you, okay? Game means nothing, okay? The only time game works is if the girl is fucking drunk. That's the only time game works. And even at that, this is why women go out in groups. So they usually have one anchor just to make sure that some low-life scumbag doesn't take advantage of the drunk girls. So that's my video for you today, guys. I hope you like, share, comment, subscribe. And you Indian guys out there, do let me know if I'm right about the whole, you know, you guys have no dignity, integrity, honor, self-respect, and all that stuff that normal people have. All right, guys, I'm going to see you in the next one. Take care of yourselves. Peace.